بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فتفضل and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we had started off the series of various Anbiya alayhimu salam initially we started off from Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam Then we went right down to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Then we went back to the top from Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. While we were speaking about Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, we spoke a little bit about his son Hazrat Shis alayhi salam, who was the next Nabi after Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Today inshallah we're going to speak a very short while about Hazrat Idris alayhi salam. There's not much information available in the books of history. But what the historians say is that he was the third prophet. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, Hazrat Shis alayhi salam, and then Hazrat Idris alayhi salam. And Hazrat Idris alayhi salam had seen about 308 years of the life of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. So Hazrat Adam alayhi salam must have been around 692 years when Hazrat Idris alayhi salam was born. Normally they refer to him as Khanukh. That was one of the names also that he was called. And the Quran Sharif, there are two places wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Hazrat Idris alayhi salam. Wa Ismail wa Idris wa Dhalkif kullu min as-sabirin. This year Allah ta'ala speaks about Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, Hazrat Idris alayhi salam, and Hazrat Zulkifl alayhi salam. And Allah said all of them were from the patient ones. That means now they had a very high level of sabr in their lives. And the other place Allah Ta'ala says, Wathkur fil kitabi Idris innahu kana siddiqan nabiyya. Speak about Hazrat Idris alayhi salam in the book, and he was a siddiq. You know, you speak about a siddiq, literally siddiq means to be truthful, but someone who is extremely truthful, a very high level of loyalty with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like you hear Hazrat Abu Bakr siddiq radiallahu anhu. So Allah ta'ala says he was a prophet and he was extremely truthful. He had a very high lofty position in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something unique regarding Hazrat Idris alayhi salam, they mentioned is that he was the first to write with a pen. That before that in the dunya, no one wrote with pens. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had perhaps opened up this knowledge of writing with a pen. In fact, I read somewhere that Hazrat Idris alayhi salam was like the founder of medicine. He was the first one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed, you know, different laws and principles of pertaining to medicine, Hazrat Idris alayhi salam. And then there is another unique science, which is known as geomance. This geomance is a very ancient science. It is something like how you get fortune telling, and how you get astrology. So there is a hadith that comes in the books of hadith. There's an incident. A sahabi by the name of Hazrat Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulami radiallahu ta'ala, he was a new Muslim and he came to the masjid. Now you must remember, Islam had different phases. Initially when namaz came, it wasn't like how we're reading now. Sometimes people were speaking, people were doing certain things. But then as time went, then the laws became more stringent and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told his sahaba, no, this is namaz now, you know, you need more attention. So this person was a new Muslim and someone sneezed in the masjid. Now he doesn't know that, you know, you're not supposed to say Yarhamukallah. He learned now if someone sneezes, you must say Yarhamukallah. So loudly in namaz, he said Yarhamukallah. So some people started staring at him in the masjid. You know, people behind, whatever, people next to him, someone must be looked at him. So he got quite annoyed and, you know, in the namaz he's saying, Wa thukla ummi amiyo. Mothers lose you. Ma tandhuruna ilay. In Arabic, sometimes they use some of these words. I'm just giving the literal translation. But sometimes when they were upset or something, they use some of these words. They didn't mean it in the literal sense. So what you people looking at me for? So now they don't know how to tell him, so they started hitting the, you know, the thighs, like to tell me, keep quiet now, you know, this is the masjid. So then he says, okay, I saw that they were trying to silence me, so I was a bit annoyed, but I kept quiet. But then he says, after the namaz, he never saw any teacher more, you know, better than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, more kinder, more compassionate than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, he never shouted him, he never reproached him, he just told him, see, this salah, la yaslu fiha shay'un min kalamin nas. This is not something for you to be speaking in, you know, it's not appropriate to speak. So then he told Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm new into the fold of Islam. And then he asked a few questions. He said, we've got some people among us, from our tribes, ya'tun al-kuhan. They go to fortune tellers. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, you don't ever go to any fortune teller. So this, you must remember, this is the teaching of Islam. You know, someone reads your palm or whatever it is, any type of a fortune teller, you stay very far from them. Then he said that among us there are people who take bad omens. Now in the Arabs at that time, the days of ignorance, you know, the pagan Arabs, they had this habit. Let's say they wanted to do something. So they'll see a whole lot of birds. So they'll come and chase the birds, and they'll see now in which direction the birds are flying. So if the birds were flying towards the right, that was like a good omen. You know, now there's going to be good luck. We must go ahead and do it. And if the birds flew towards the left, now we also got some of these things in us, right? You know, all this bad luck and all this jinx and this number 13 and all these things. Even that midnight, you know, 12 o'clock in the night, people get, sometimes people are frightened to go to toilet. And the students also tell us, the madrasa, one, two students, 12 o'clock in the night, don't go to toilet. So I told him, but in that time there was no 12 o'clock, the clocks and all invented later on, you know, so where you got this thing here now, from 12 o'clock something's going to happen to you. So khair baral, we're saying about this bad omens now, you know, bad luck, someone saw a black cat, now he's very worried, someone's eyes are twitching, left hand side, left eye is twitching, now yeah, I don't know, something's going to happen now, someone saw some type of a dream. So you get all this type of things happening. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, he gave him a very beautiful answer. He said, ذَلِكَ شَيْءٌ يَجِدُونَهُ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ فَلَا يَسُدَّنُهُمْ. There's no reality to that. That is something which is, how you'll say, in their minds. It is only something that they're experiencing in their hearts. It must not stop them from what they want to do. If you got some work to do, don't get fooled now that the birds flew to the left side, or now I saw a black cat coming out, or it's the month of Safar, oh, today is the 13th. Don't get worried about all these things. You do what you have to do. So this is a very, very important principle that comes for all the superstitions. And a lot of us got the superstition from India, you know, because the Muslims were living with the Hindus. And Hindus got a lot of superstitions. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam answered him that. Then the third thing that he mentioned was that there are some people, yakhuttun, who are drawing lines. Now this is that science I was speaking about. It's called Ilmu Ramal in Arabic. In English it translates as geomancy, the science of geomancy. Now this is some type of symbols. In those days they should draw it on the sand. So that's why Ramal means sand. So they were drawing it on the sand, and those symbols now, through those symbols they will come find out certain things. So you hear of people who also got the science till now, and where they could sometimes now, let's say you lost something. So they'll draw some symbol, then they'll, you know, equal that to something. And ultimately they'll tell you, okay, see this year, it's in this room, and it's in this corner of this room, and on this shelf, or in this cupboard. You know, they give you like quite precise guidelines in terms of, you know, are you finding your thing. So this was, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, كَانَ نَبِيُّ مِنَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ يَخُطُّ. There was one Nabi who practiced this science. فَمَنْ وَافَقَ خَطَّهُ فَذَاكْ. Who can coincide and correspond and do exactly as he had done it, then it will be permissible. But what ulama explained from this, most ulama say, from this you understand that it's not permissible. Why? Because how do we know now, in this day and time, people who are practicing this, whether it's in exactly according to the principles of Hazrat Idris alayhi salam or not. So this was Hazrat Idris alayhi salam. The commentators of hadith say, Hazrat Idris alayhi salam, Allah blessed him with this science. And as the hadith is saying, those who do it exactly as he did it, but now how are you going to get that confirmation now to find out? That's why most ulama would say that it's not permissible. There may be some who say it's permissible, but the majority say it's impermissible. So this was Hazrat Idris alayhi salam. Then the Quran says, وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا. We raised him to a very high status. So under this now, there's an Israeli riwayat. Previously mentioned Israeli riwayat is a story coming to us from the Jews or Christians, from their scholars, from their books. You call that an Israeli riwayat. So you cannot 100% confirm the authenticity, nor can you deny it. It's possible, it could be authentic, as long as it's not contradicting any of our principles, or any of the information that we have got. So Hazrat Ka'b al-Ahbar, rahimahullah, was a very great Jewish alim. He accepted Islam in the era of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. So he mentioned an incident. He said, Hazrat Idris alayhi salam, Allah sent wahi to him. He was doing so many good actions. You know, Allah loved those good actions. That Allah sent wahi to him that your good actions that are being raised are equal to the actions of all the people of your time. So many good actions he was doing. Imagine now, one man with so much of good amal he was doing, that Allah said it's equal to all other people what they're doing. So he had this desire to do even more. You know, he said, I want to do more. And you know, every Muslim should have that desire. You know, where I can do more. I'm not saying, you know, go out of moderation. Moderation is an important thing. But staying within the boundaries of moderation, where you've got the strength, you've got the ability, you've got the time, you're not infringing on anyone's rights, you know, you're not abusing your family or neglecting your family. So where you can do more, do more. So he wanted to do more. So he had a friend in the farishtas, in the angels, and he told that friend, can you find out for me from Malakul Maut, how long more I got to live? So I can work out a plan now, you know, where I can even do more actions. So that angel took him on his wing into the heavens, and he took him right till the fourth sky. And in the famous hadith of Bukhari, Muslim, etc., when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went on the night of Miraj, then on the fourth sky, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam met Hazrat Idris. Every sky he met different prophets, but the fourth sky was where he met Hazrat Idris alayhi salam. So they going up, and on the fourth sky they meet Malakul Maut. Malakul Maut is coming down. So that Farishta tells him, you know what, he speaks to Malakul Maut. So Malakul Maut says, so where is Idris? He says, no, he's here with me, I brought him with me. And we just came to find out from you. Malakul Maut says, because I'm just wondering now, Allah commanded me to take the life of Hazrat Idris alayhi salam on the fourth sky. I'm thinking Idris alayhi salam is in the dunya, where he's going to be here on the fourth sky. But Allah gave me that hukam, you know, and when Allah gives that hukam, there's it's no way that it's going to be wrong or inaccurate. And yeah, Malakul Maut, his time was up and his life was taken away in the fourth sky. So some Ka'b al-Ahbar, as I mentioned, the Israeli riwayat, it's not proven like from authentic hadiths. It may be the narration is authentic, but the source is coming from Hazrat Ka'b al-Ahbar, who was a Jewish alim and he was a Jewish rabbi. So he had knowledge of the other scriptures. He wasn't quoting this from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So according to this narration, that is what's the meaning of وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا. In the 16th para, Allah mentions that we gave him a very, very high status. We had raised him to a very high place and a very high position. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the true understanding. Inshallah, next week we will start off on the life of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam.